Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Brian Fritz here on the Between the Ropes podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing to the podcast. Hope everybody got an opportunity to check out the podcast I just did with Kevin Eck, the former creative team member for WWE, talking everything going on at WWE from Raw over the last couple of weeks following WrestleMania, all of the different young talent that's in the company, the recent debuts, thoughts on how to use the Balor Club if that comes together, Shinsuke Nakamura, some of the other young talent that's there, and also some Maryland Championship Wrestling, which Kevin is a part of. Lots of things to dive into on that podcast. Hope everybody checks it out. Now, over a week ago, when I was in Dallas to cover WrestleMania, I did have an opportunity to speak with a bunch of different WWE talents. I already posted some of those here on the podcast. Now, all of the interviews are on the YouTube page. If you go to YouTube.com/Between the Ropes, you'll find all of the interviews there. The ones I've already posted are with Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, and Apollo Crews. But I do have three other ones that if you have not got an opportunity to check out on YouTube, I'm going to put here on the podcast right now. And they are with Bray Wyatt, Sasha Banks, and The New Day. Now, just a reminder, these interviews were done before WrestleMania. 2 days before WrestleMania. So if they sound a little out of date on some of the things we talk about, that's why. It's because it was before WrestleMania. But there are some other things that we talk about too that totally make sense even now. Just talking about their journey to where they are now. And even with The New Day, they even explain an idea that they had for their gimmick and something that they wanted to do and something they finally revealed, something they hadn't even talked about before in public. I wanted to put the interviews here on the podcast so everybody has a chance to check them out just in case you haven't already listened to them or watched them on YouTube. So here are my interviews with Bray Wyatt, Sasha Banks, and The New Day. Brian Fritz here, WrestleMania Radio Row, as we get ready for the big show. Bray Wyatt joining me. I can call you the WrestleMania Mystery Man.
Yes, you can.
Because we do not know what Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family are going to be doing yet.
Yeah, and you shouldn't, though. Isn't that kind of that's always been who we are, you know? I think that's the way it should be.
We never know where the Wyatt family is going to make an impact.
Agreed.
But I do know that the entrance is going to be pretty incredible again.
It should be. You know, I mean, I can only imagine what 100,000 people, you know, entering an arena would look like. You know, that's stuff dreams are made out of.
So what's this past year been like for you, and where do you feel like you are right now and the Wyatt family's at?
I mean, right now we're at a pivotal place in time, you know, as far as, you know, what the future is going to hold from us, for us, is, you know, in fate's hands. And I really feel like this next year is our year. And, you know, I like to say that. I've said that other years as well. But it feels like now we're in this time frame of move, you mm-hmm. know. I mean, it has to. And I think that's the way we all have looked at it, you know. This WrestleMania in particular has been just complete different vibe than the other ones for me, you know.
What feels different?
I mean, the fact that I'm not advertised in a match, you know. And just, you know, that simple fact, the people have really turned me on to something I didn't even know about myself. And that was, you know, we have this following and these people, they care. They care about us on a level that subconsciously I never thought they would, you know. And it's real. It's not like, oh, I'm a fan of his and I hate when this happens or this happens. It's very, very real kind of feeling, you know, following that we've garnered, and they actually care about what we're going to do. And I think it's very cool that this WrestleMania, it's not a big poster of me and Undertaker or me and whoever, you know, because it would be easy to go Triple H versus Bray Wyatt and everyone would be okay. You know, but for me, it's the mystery about all of it. It's kind of built up its own build outside of the WrestleMania card, you know, and that's pretty cool, man. And that's, they did that, not me.
Well, you said this is kind of a pivotal year for yourself and for the Wyatt family. I've always kind of felt like, I think the fans have definitely appreciated you guys and want to see more.
Exactly.
I've almost wondered, though, if the people in WWE don't totally understand you or the Wyatt family.
And that's fair. That's a very fair assumption to make, because I don't think I understand us, you know? And I think that's kind of the beauty about everything that we do, is it's like we're this unknown chapter. Like, we're something so different and so out on of left field. And people have been – they definitely didn't expect. I mean, there's a picture of us right there holding two alligators. And I think that's was what everyone's perception of us is, you know, these swamp creatures. But we were never like that. We're not creatures. We're educated monsters, you know, and we've always been that. And no one in WWE could have expected the fans to attach themselves to us the way they have. I mean, because we're so different. And I feel like it's been a slow understanding from a company perspective, you know, to – what do we actually have here? What are they, you know?
Do you have anxious moments going, I think the fans are responding to us, so let's do more. Let's do more with the Wyatt family.
There's no way I could ever not think that. Even if the fans quit caring about us completely tomorrow, I would still feel that, because that, you know, I care about this way more than I should.
Yeah.
But that's who I am, and that's why we got here. You know, We see a lot of things for us, and we want to reward the fans for sticking with us and sticking by us. You know, we really, really do. And that's something I'm really going to be looking forward to this next year as time goes by and as new people enter and leave this corporation. I'm excited what the future holds for us.
But one of the things that's always kind of stuck out with me a little bit is, obviously, because of your role with the Wyatt family, you aren't always in the ring, but at the same time, being in that role, I'd like to see you wrestle more, especially on Raw. Is that something you'd like to do more?
You know, that exact question goes back and forth. Some people think I should never, ever wrestle. Some people think I should be, you know, I should be the one wrestling every single week. And to me, it all goes hand in hand with where I'm at storyline-wise, you know. And I think me and Ambrose and me and Roman have fought each other so many times, you know, it's like I need new blood. There's others that I haven't got to yet. However it fits, you know, without Harper, it's going to be a lot harder, you know, wrestling on Raw every week. But I don't care, man. I'm always ready to fight. And this is what I do. I'll fight every week on Raw. It doesn't matter to me as long as it's the right circumstance.
How tough is that, losing Luke to a knee injury, and it looks like he's going to be sidelined for a while?
It's hard, you know. That's not I always thought it would be me and not him, you know. I've always been – I'm not even going to knock on wood here. I've always been almost invulnerable. I get bent and bent and bent and bent and bent, but I never break. And I never thought – I thought something would happen to me before it ever happened to him. And almost because I didn't want to think of what it would be like without him, you know. Since the beginning, it's been me and him, you know. The Wyatts was Luke Harper and Bray Wyatt for a while, you know. And he's a pivotal part, and he's really going to be missed, not just because of what he can do in the ring, which I'm sure everyone understands that. He's probably the best in the ring that we have. I don't care what anybody says, especially for a big man. He's untouchable. And but from like from where he was, like as a captain, kind of, I guess you could say, he was kind of he was the glue that kind of stuck us all together. And he's going to be very, very missed.
I've always thought that he is one of the most underappreciated talents. 100%. Because, like, what you talk about, like, this is a guy that you can work with anybody,
exactly,
can do everything. And, you know, I was waiting to see them do more with Luke as well as a performer.
His day to shine has not came yet.
Yeah.
For what he's going to do and as compared to what he has done is nothing yet. He has a long career here, and when he comes back, we're going to be stronger than ever. And, you know, it'll be a nice little surprise to see, you know, what the future holds for when he does come back, you know.
You never want to see anybody get hurt, but is it a little bit scary considering the way you got hurt? Because that was like a non-contact thing. Oh, it wasn't.
It's always something like that.
Yeah. Look at Neville.
Yeah. It's always something like that. It's never the things that look like they hurt really, really bad probably do, but they never. It's never that. It's always something, especially with a knee. You never know. You move your knee the wrong way, it cracks and breaks. You know, it's just the way your knee works. And the same thing can be said about anything on your body. And it's just how it is, man. It's very, very upsetting.
What's it been like to mix in your big man now, Braun Strowman? Yeah. Your really big man.
Yeah, really, really big man. It's been great. You know, he added a new dimension to the Wyatts. You know, we were already huge. We didn't really need another huge guy. But he's been a huge integral part of our group, you know. He's this big monster, and the guy is legitimately as strong as anyone on this planet, you know. And I mean, how cool is that to say, you know? And in my opinion, when you look at the Wyatts, you don't need to convince anybody that we're a force, and we should be a force always, you know. That's just the way it is.
How much better has Braun gotten in your eyes? Because you're around him all the time.
Yeah.
And even when he joined the group before that, he had limited experience. And now, where do you feel he is, you know, since he's been able to join the group and be around the more experienced guys?
Yeah, man, he's really coming along. And that's that. He got thrown right into the fire. We're going with Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose and every top superstar there is, Chris Jericho. And he fit right in like he was meant to be there, because he was, you know. And he is no longer the new guy in the Wyatts. We're just the Wyatts again, and now we have Braun, and he's one of us.
Yeah. How much different do you feel from a standpoint of you changed the gear up just a little bit?
Oh, him?
No, you. I mean, some of the clothes and stuff. It's
oh,
a
my
bit
gear,
different.
I mean, I've had this jacket a long time. I think my hair is different. People keep freaking out about that, but
I don't think you're as colorful as you once were.
Yeah. I still wear the Hawaiian shirts, you know, here and there, but, I mean, people are freaking out about my hair and stuff, but whatever, man. Is this really so out of bounds for me? No. Yeah.
Explain this, because I know we didn't talk about this last year, and we should have, but you were wearing white pants for a while. What's the meaning of the white pants? Did you have a meaning for the white pants, I thought?
Yeah. Okay, so there was always a message that I don't think a lot of people have ever gotten this, and this is actually weird that you asked me this, but I don't think anyone ever has. There was always a message behind everything, especially at the beginning. I was so detailed. I wanted everyone to see what I saw out of it, and what the message was that we shot everything in the daylight, because I wanted people to understand that there was that we were monsters that walked among you. You know, everyone is always all these creature films and monster movies have always been the monsters. Oh God! Once night comes, you know, they're out, and that's the time you have to be afraid. But I wanted the complete reverse psychology, to where these were monsters that live among you and walk in the daylight. And the same thing with the white pants. If you notice that all the other guys are grimy and dirty and beat up and stuff, but I was completely clean, you know, it was almost a testament to my soul, you know. I was an angel that lived in the dirt, but still rose from it, you know, clean.
It's deep, man.
Yeah, and it really was meant to be that deep.
Sure.
And shame on none of you for ever picking up on it. Shame on you.
Last thing, let's go back to last year real quick. You'd always dream of having a match, The Undertaker, WrestleMania.
Right, right.
And you got that.
Yeah.
So what was the experience like for you?
Man, it was unreal. I mean, I don't know how you even put it into words. It was something I always wanted, and I got it. And now I want it again, you know? Like, I would love to do it next Mania. Who knows? I don't care. Tomorrow. Let's do it tomorrow before Mania. You know, it was almost a surreal feeling, because when you wrestle him, it's almost like wrestling a god, you know, as far as this business is concerned. He's immortal. He's forever already. I mean, look around this room. He's everywhere, you know. But, yeah, it's something no matter whatever happens to me in life, no one ever take those moments from me, you know. And what I want, and I think I've explained this, expressed this in the past a few times, but what I want, the ultimate reward in this company to me is one day someone getting me at WrestleMania and going, it is an honor just to be in the ring with him. You know, that's the ultimate nod here. And a lot of guys will never get that opportunity, you know, to be that important. And that's my goal. That's where I want to be. I want it to be an honor just to be around me in the ring and get that rub, you know. So,
well, Bray,
thank you, Undertaker.
I always appreciate the time, and I look forward to seeing what the Wyatt family has in store for WrestleMania.
Right. Yeah, me too.
Take care of yourself. Brian Fritz here, WrestleMania week. Sasha Banks in the house as well, getting ready for her big championship match come WrestleMania, the women's three-way match between herself taking on Charlotte and Becky Lynch as well.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Just to know that, you know, I get to be in a match with two girls that I started out with in NXT, let alone debuting on the main roster together. It's really come full circle, and man, what a journey. I mean, I got to go to the stadium yesterday and just to see our picture right in the center, in the middle. You know, it wasn't Triple H, it wasn't John Cena, it wasn't Kevin Owens, it was the women. And I think that just speaks volume of how far, you know, the women are going in WWE. We're legit taking over, and it's been so awesome just to be a part of it.
For anybody that's here in Dallas, when you walk through the streets, there are different light posts and things that have posters of various WWE superstars. Not everybody gets one. There is a Sasha Banks one, though.
There's multiple ones. I keep seeing people tweet it. And I would like to walk over there, but I don't know where legit it is. So if you want to tweet me the address, it's weird. It's so crazy to see my picture everywhere. Even here at Access, I'm just like, I just remember being on the NXT poster, and now I'm everywhere. It's crazy what not even a year. I haven't even been on the main roster a year can do, and that just speaks how fast life can go. And you know, it's really come full circle since I was 10. This has been my dream, and now that I get to have this WrestleMania moment, it's truly a dream come true.
I know you're doing a video diary for WWE.com. You pulled out these notebooks, and you were talking. You used to write down, I believe, the results of every match.
Yes, I did.
And then whatever else you worked in or whatever. And you know, I saw that you were flipping through that. Where did the idea come from doing that? You know,
God,
and keeping them for so long.
Yeah, I have no idea. I think I came to one time. I missed like watching a Raw or SmackDown, and I was devastated. So I went online. I walked to the library and I wrote down the results just so I remember. And, you know, every Monday and every time I'd watch SmackDown, I would write everything that would happen. I just wanted to remember these moments. And it wasn't until after when Eddie died, I stopped writing because I couldn't do it anymore. I was so devastated when he passed away. But yeah, I kept those notebooks, and then it came to my wrestling journal when I started training and just, you know, carrying notes and quotes and ideas for when I actually got to, you know, be in WWE. And I have more journals than in just that video. But, yeah, I thought that was just, like, something very special that I can share and just to show the world that this has been a dream of mine since I was a little girl. And, you know, just seeing this whole dream come true, it's crazy that you can really truly say dreams do come true. And if you put hard work out there, you know, anything can happen.
So are you back to keeping a journal again,
cataloging
everything?
Not everything. I should, because my memory is so gone now. Too many bumps. But I do keep a wrestling journal, and I have, again, ideas, quotes, storylines ideas, gear ideas, everything. I love writing and just, you know, try to inspire myself. And anything that pops in my head, I write it down because, again, my memory is just so gone.
Yeah.
So I go back to those notes and I remember my ideas.
You mentioned Eddie Guerrero and you were a big fan, like so many other people were. Did when he passed, did that change you as a fan? Or
it was hard. It more hurt me because at that time I was living in Minnesota, and the day before that event where he passed, which was in Minnesota, I won front row seat tickets. And I just thought to my life, oh my God, I hope Eddie Guerrero sees my son. I prayed to God that night too. I was like, dear God, please let Eddie wink at me, throw his shirt at me, see my sign, anything. And then the next morning, I didn't turn on a TV, the internet, nothing, a radio. It was insane. And legit, every morning I would go on TV, internet, radio, whatever. And I went to the arena and I just saw so many fans with rest in peace, Eddie. We'll miss you, Eddie. And I was legit really confused because it was scheduled that it would be Eddie versus Batista versus Randy Orton. So I thought in my mind, oh, maybe they switch it where it's Eddie versus Undertaker, and Minnesota just doesn't like Eddie, and they like the Undertaker. And a fan came up to me and he was like, you know, Eddie died, right? And it felt just like my heart just broke. I just didn't understand how my favorite wrestler could pass away. So it really hurt me hard, but it just made me realize how much he changed my life and how much I wanted to be like him when I grew up. And I just wanted to follow in his path. And I would legit every single day watch Eddie Guerrero matches and study him and just follow in his footsteps because, you know, he's what made it possible for me. I wanted to be the female version of him. And now I'm here having this WrestleMania moment. And it's just really crazy how life works.
You know, we talk about last year and obviously you coming up to WWE, but it was a big year for even when you did events in NXT as mm-hmm. well. You know, people talk about what a huge year it was for Bayley, but it was for you as well because you were a dance partner there, especially for a couple of
don't forget
huge
about me.
Matches.
Yeah.
So what was it like being part of that? Because, I mean, you go to Brooklyn, that's the biggest audience that NXT has ever had a show in front yeah. of. And then you follow that up with the 30-minute Iron Man match, mm-hmm. first time that ever. There's ever been an Iron Man match for the yeah. women. And plus, it was the main event of one of the TakeOver shows. So, you know, that has to be an incredible experience.
It is. And it started in the beginning of the year when I won the NXT Women's Championship in that Fatal 4-Way, where fans really took notice of us and were just like, wow, I think the girls stole the show. And then it went from me versus Becky, and people were like, wow, that was great. And I was like, how can I one-up this? Then I got called up on the main roster, and they're like, okay, NXT Brooklyn. So I thought that was my last match. And this was the first time that there would be an NXT TakeOver outside of Florida. And it was so huge. And just know that we sold out the Barclays Center. Same thing as SummerSlam. They sold out too. Just like, wow, we're really competing against, you know, the main roster. It felt like a WrestleMania moment for me. And that match was just so special because Bayley is one of my favorite opponents. She is by far one of my favorite wrestlers, period. And that match was just so special. And at the end, when all four of us got to share that ring and just got to hold up the four horsemen symbol and, you know, just say, you know, pretty much our goodbye, but we did so good. We got one more match out of it. It was really cool. And it's crazy how it goes from there to now WrestleMania. It's just, I feel like we just keep growing and it's so cool to be part of it.
You talk about that moment with the four of you in the ring calling yeah. the match. Was there any ever nervousness about doing that? Because some people say, well, that's breaking down a barrier, but it's a different day and age when it comes to this business.
And it is because, you know, those are the girls I started out with. And I remember when they told us that we can do that, I had no questions about it. Absolutely. I thought that was my last match in NXT. And I had a hell of a match with Bayley. And I loved working with her. And that was her moment. And I was so happy for her. So I loved sharing the ring with them. And it was so special. And it was truly a heartfelt moment. And you can feel our emotions standing in there. And I'm happy that we got to have that moment. You know, I heard some people say, you know, you're killing the business doing that. No, you're just saying that this is real life. Like, we feel this way, and we're showing you how we feel. And I loved it. So it's my Kodak moment.
So the NXT audience obviously knows you extremely well and really enjoys you. How do you feel that transition has been in going to WWE? Because I think the audience is still getting to know you.
Yes, and it's crazy that when I got called up, you know, fans knew who I were, like was, but there was this, like, just respect around my name with people chanting, "We want Sasha." I feel like they were just going along with some of the fans, but like, but who is Sasha? Who is everyone talking about? What is Sasha? So it's really cool that, you know, we have the WWE Network and you can watch these matches where I've made a name for myself and people can understand why they chant "We want Sasha," and like just how you know, I went from a bad guy to fans cheering me to just being respected and having fans come up to me every single day and just be like, thank you for helping women's wrestling. You're my favorite wrestler, period, not diva, not female. Like, you're just, period, one of my favorites. I think that's so cool to be a part of something where you don't have to put a label on something. We're not just divas. We're not just, you know, female competitors. We're just, we're like superstars. We're just, we're here, you know?
So am I supposed to cheer you or boo you?
You can do whatever you want.
Oh, okay, good.
You know, anything that says Sasha.
So what's it like for you, either being at ringside or even being in the back when there's a match going on and people are chanting, we want Sasha?
It's
because
weird.
Obviously you want there to be a proper respect on the people in the ring, but at the same time, it's like, hey, they want me.
That's a hard one because sometimes when they do that with the girls' matches, and I'm just like, come on, guys, give them a chance too. But it's crazy that they want to see me. And it speaks to my work of what I was trying to portray and have people take notice of me. And just to have that respect from the fans, I think that's so cool. And at the same time, I'm just like, don't do it right at this moment. Wait till I come out and you can do that. But it's humbling to know that, you know, yeah. I'm a fan favorite, hopefully.
There's been some talk, too. And I know you brought this up in the past about the term diva and women. And mm-hmm. there's some talk about in WWE going back to women and not calling it divas anymore. Is that something you're hoping happens?
I hope. I have no problem with it being called divas, but to me, I am a woman's wrestler, and that's what I grew up watching. So I think that would be really cool. And just to know that we're part of history, of maybe of it changing again. But there's always going to be the pretty type, and there's going to be the gritty wrestler that I am trying to be. But, yeah, we're just part of history, and I'm lucky to be a part of growing with it.
So tell me what's – not that I'm trying to put any more on you – what's the pressure like going into this match? Because you know these other women very well. You've had outstanding matches with both of them. Now you're going to be, you know, all three of you are going to be in the ring together. And this is a showcase for the women to really show what you can do on this platform.
Yeah, I thought NXT TakeOver Respect, I thought that was pressure. I'm like, how am I going to top Brooklyn? But just having so many fans be like, I look forward to this match. It just, my heart goes, I don't need any more pressure because I already put so much pressure on myself. It's crazy. And then just being, again, the center pitcher of the stadium at AT&T, I'm just like, wow, that speaks volume of itself. But to me, I just have to remember, just, I got to do me, which is, for me, I always want to go out there and steal the show and put on a hell of a match. So that's exactly what I'm going to do at WrestleMania. And just letting alone knowing that I'm going to be sharing a ring with Becky and Charlotte. I know them so well in the ring. It's going to be crazy. But at the same time, I haven't wrestled Charlotte since being on the main roster. Only that little short something on SmackDown. Even that felt different. So it's a whole new game plan. But at the same time, we trained together for 3 years. And, you know, I know them very well. And it's exciting to be a part of.
So I assume, are you going to take that moment when you first come through that curtain and just kind of see how big this is? Because, I mean, we talk about Brooklyn. That was about 15,000.
Yeah.
This is going to be around 100,000.
Oh, I know. Everyone keeps asking me that. I have no idea what I'm going to feel, but I hope to see it after the match because I don't want to, like, look out and freak myself out and be like, oh, my God, this many people are watching me. I just want to go out there and just do what I always do, put on a great match, and then let it all settle, and then I can take it all in and just be like, wow, you just did this.
So I know you can't give anything away, but can you tease anything when it comes to the big Sasha Banks boss entrance?
Man, I can't tease nothing. Did I surprise you guys for NXT Brooklyn? I think I did. So just, you guys have to be patient. Rest, like, Sunday is coming up and you can always watch on the network, and it's going to be a surprise. It's definitely going to be awesome.
All you got to do is without answering, but answering, you say it's going to be the most amazing, enormous, unbelievable experience I'm going to be a part of, and you're going to want to watch.
Of course. What's new? But I just feel like people are expecting so much. So what if it's a normal entrance? You guys going to be disappointed? Of course not, because I'm the boss. I'm going to always look good no matter what. But I definitely do have something special planned. So you have to watch. It's going to be amazing.
Have you had an opportunity to go around Access? Because, I mean, were you around Access last year?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
I was wrestling with NXT, and
right.
I had, like, five matches every day. It was crazy.
That's why I wasn't sure if you got a chance to go to Access, because last year it was a lot going on for NXT people.
And it was fun. Like, this was the only time I actually got to walk around and see some things. And I just got to see the Dusty statue, which, so beautiful. I miss him so much. But this is beautiful. And just seeing the Superstore, like, did you see how many Divas merch there was?
It's crazy.
You see how much merch I had? I was like, this is so cool. Last year I had nothing, and, you know, now I'm all over the store. I'm all over Access. I see so many pictures. It's really crazy to be a part of it. And it's, for fans, this is such a cool place to be.
Obviously, your goal was to be on, you know, with the WWE. Do you miss the day-to-day of going to the Performance Center?
No.
No?
I don't. I really don't. To be honest with you, getting up every morning and training every day was killing me. I mean, I love learning. Norman Smiley is the man, and I credit him and Joey Mercury for, like, helping me become Sasha Banks in the ring. But, man, waking up and doing the same schedule every single day, training 3 hours, working out for 2 hours, doing promos, going back, doing extra work. I was just like, I'm a robot. But now it's a lot different on the main roster, traveling all the time. It's the same thing. You get out of the hotel. Like, you come from the airport, you find a gym, you get your food, you go to the arena, hotel, repeat. But I know that I have my Thursdays off. At NXT, I had barely Sunday off, so... it's kind of the same but different, and I get to travel every week, so it's cool. But I don't miss it.
I was going to say, how's the hunting and pecking going on the road looking for food?
That's the hardest part. I try to find a Whole Foods, but a lot of time in those small towns, it's nearly impossible. So you stop at, like, a grocery store, you buy, like, a huge, a lot of lettuce, you get some, you know, rotisserie chicken, bring it on the road, and just go. You try to get the healthy snacks. I always pack tuna with me, but it's really difficult to eat clean and good on the road.
Have you gotten used to that road schedule because it is so much different?
I know. Because every week it's just like it can be a go from an hour drive to a 2 hour to 5 hours, and you just never know. And, you know, you can be sometimes so tired after your matches and you have to go halfway. It's hard. I'm not used to it, but it's also so much fun. Just to go into every different town, and the fans are so different in every single town. It's so much fun.
So being on the main roster with WWE, is it everything you hoped it would be so far?
Oh, man, it's definitely not what I expected at all. You know, NXT is supposed to prepare you for this stuff. It's so different. But NXT was, man, it prepared me for a lot, but not everything on the main roster. So is it everything I dreamt for? Yes, but there's going to be more. So that's what I'm looking forward to, is keep on changing the game and keep on getting more and more and more, because, yeah, that's what I want.
It's going to be a great match on Sunday, WrestleMania 32. We have the three-way for the Divas Championship, yeah. And maybe it will be the moment for Sasha Banks.
It will be the moment. I hope. I'm going to make it.
Brian Fritz here on WrestleMania Radio Row, just a couple of days before WrestleMania. And guess who's here? The New Day is here.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some rounds of applause. Rounds. Yeah. You can't even see on the other side, but people are going nuts.
It's deafening.
There,
it's wow. Deafening.
I like wow. That you guys are once again color coordinated.
Always.
Every time.
Except for Big E with the wrong t-shirt on.
It's not the wrong shirt. Is this not a New Day shirt? Are we not trying to push merch?
This guy is trying to tell us what's right and what's wrong.
What do we call him?
Let's look at
you. You are
Kofi.
You know what you are? You are a wedge driver. You're trying to drive a wedge in between this solid foundation, but you can't do it. Why?
No cracks.
Because you don't see a crack.
Where are you going to put that wedge?
Take your wedge and go home.
Go home.
Go.
But why are you promoting Bootios and Xavier is promoting Bootios and you're just promoting the New Day?
Just promoting the New Day. Designing.
Yeah.
On the outside, he's flanked by the new shirt.
Okay.
Also paying homage to the old shirt because we want to make sure people buy all the shirts.
Oh!
Yeah, that's a plan, man. You need to remember your history. This is where we all started. You know, this is old school. Come on, man. We're covering all the... You play baseball?
Of course.
First, second, third, you do not play baseball.
I
asked you a question.
I used to play baseball.
So that means no. I said, do you currently play baseball?
I do not.
We're covering all the bases. We're covering all the bases. First, second, third, and home plate, baby. We're covering all the bases.
All of them.
So let's talk about when New Day came together, because, you know, there was a lot of questions about how exactly this is going to work, how it came together and everything. Was it? Did it come together as quickly as you thought when it came to the chemistry between you, and then when it came to the audience?
Oh, the chemistry was there from day one. That wasn't a concern at all. What was a concern was I have to put this gently and politically correct. We had the first iteration of the New Day was it was a little booty. It's a little booty. For good reason.
Nobody likes a little booty either.
Right. We like it. We like it fat and round. Yep. But we were able to turn things around because eventually we got enough trust with the powers that be, and then we started doing us. And once we did us, things were en fuego.
Were you worried with that first, you know, coming of the New Day? Because as a fan, I'll tell you what, I was.
But the thing is, so let's say when a cell starts off, you don't know that that cell is going to grow into a human being. So you can't judge the first step because you cannot see the last.
It's got to metastasize first.
Exactly. Exactly. And so people have to understand that in order to become what we are currently, we have to go through what we previously once were. Like a phoenix rising from the ashes. You have to first fall before you can rise.
Well, that's actually a very valid point, because I feel like if we were what we are now when we first started, I don't think people would be into it. I feel like because it happened very organically, people, we kind of like moved as the people. Not that we like listened to the crowd as far as like, oh, this is what people will want, so we're going to do this. We always did what we felt was best, but we rode that natural wave of audience reaction and didn't force things down people's throats.
Plan. We got you. We got you.
It's funny how we know what a big difference a year makes, because last year at WrestleMania, we were getting booed out of the building. Yeah. And even the day after at the Raw, we were getting booed out of the building. And now we have Bootio's shirts promoting booty cereal. You know what I'm saying? That like literally 365 days ago, who would have thought that we'd be like, you know, where we are? But, you know, it's one of the cases, like we said, we believed in ourselves and the chemistry that we had, that literally whatever we were given, we would be able to take and mold it into something special. And that's kind of what organically happened.
When was that moment when you said, not only do we have something here, but this is really going to go someplace? Like, this is big.
I don't know. I feel like we always kind of believe that eventually it would become something big, because I feel like if you don't think like that, then you're not really going to go anywhere. So regardless of how people are currently receiving it and how they previously received it, you know, we always felt that our chemistry would be the thing that shines through and makes whatever we have eventually work. But I feel like it clicked for the crowd. We were overseas, actually. And, you know, that clap that we do turned into something that they would kind of make fun of us with. And then from there, it literally just took off for the next few months. So what was that, like a month or two before Mania?
Europe? Europe was after, a little bit after, like about, almost a month after. But yeah, there are a couple pivotal moments that I remember as far as events. It would be that we always talk about from time to time. Would be the Philly Royal Rumble, where the New Day Sucks chants were very loud. We had a kickoff match with Cesaro and Kid for the titles, which we lost. But that was a big moment. And the Detroit Raw, and like, I remember that Detroit Raw. I remember you kind of went off the handle a little bit.
I did.
You got, because, all right, this is our perspective. So it was actually a pretty good thing, because we needed people to turn on it for it to become what it is now. But it started off as we were three dudes who were underutilized. We felt like fans are always talking about underutilized guys getting more and doing more with guys in the mid card. So our perspective was, hey, man, we worked on this idea on our own. We can't even get into how much time we spent backstage and whatnot, trying to get this idea off the ground. So much of our own time, we spent money on doing stuff, shooting stuff that will never see the light of day, just to show people, hey, man, we want this. This is an idea that we believe in. So we spent all this time working on this idea, and you're telling us we suck? It was a very real reaction. I remember, I think we were either in break or it was after the match. I remember looking around. We were, like, legit hot at these people. But it was a necessary thing, and it was a good thing for us. But at the time, it's like we put in all this work and effort to get to this point, and this is the reaction we get.
Yeah. I always, and they make fun of me for this, because they were trying to be like good guys, yay, and I always kind of cynically did it because I knew where I wanted it to go from the get-go. And so something like that, like, I was mad but like fired up and happy about it. I'm pretty sure I was like, I definitely like spit at the town like during the match. It was intense.
Well, give me an idea of something that you did a video for, so an idea you had, but it never came to the light of day.
Can we talk about any?
You can give like a vague thing.
Yeah, I feel like when.
Or you can give a particular example if you really want.
We could.
Oh, you're
you can go direct.
Man.
We got a couple things. I feel like the time's not right, but that the video, the fun one that we thought would work.
Yeah.
We got to put out. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about that from like a legal standpoint. Yeah. Oh, go.
I think it's perfectly fine.
Should we?
You're trying to get that.
You know what?
We've never talked about it.
He's always. Are you?
Okay. So he.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, so problem solver is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to talk about it?
Who's a problem solver?
Yeah. All right. Do you want to? I feel like this is more of your baby, right?
I mean, yes. But
all right. All right.
You can talk about it.
Yeah. I prod you to talk about it. Yeah.
Okay. So essentially, we didn't really know what we wanted to be. We just knew that we wanted to do something together, and so we came up with all these things that first we were like angry, and we wanted more out of life, and we were gonna come at everybody with anger and rage and whatever. And
then, which is the promo that you saw in Miami. The first time we were all three together on television. Yeah. So that was the shade with him in the white and red suit.
Yeah.
That's kind of how that idea we worked on that before, and that was supposed to be the idea of finally getting on TV, and that did not last very long. Sorry, go ahead.
Is this when everyone thought like, oh, it's Nation of Domination? And it's like, first off, no, because you don't call the Wyatts the new Godwins, so please relax with all that. Once they said, you know, maybe in like a positive spin, do it in a fun way. And so we're like, okay, I came up with this thing called the problem solvers. And so it was literally like, oh, you've got a problem. And somebody would like hold out like their bills and we just slapped them out of their hands and say, problem solved. But like nothing solved. You just knocked paper out of my hands. We made like a 3-minute skit, 4-minute skit where it's just people's problems and doing that. And it was actually like really funny, just really over the top. But I think at that point, we hadn't gone through the evolution process, like we said before. So it was something that was way out here, and there were no steps to take you on that journey to this moment. And so, like, everybody, like, enjoyed it, but they're like, no one would really understand it. Because it's come from our minds of traveling in the car. Like he said, before we were a thing on TV, we had been doing this for, like, 6 months, like, off of TV, like, on the weekends, you know what I mean? And so it's – at one point, Kofi, like, jumped out of the air and stomp somebody's lunch tray out of their hands and, like, crush it. Like, it's just legit ridiculous stuff.
We'll definitely have to release that video one day because, like, you know, like he said, it's just all ridiculous stuff like that, us trying to solve problems. And I think the idea behind it was that how it would translate to TV was we would kind of be like a comedic APA type deal where people would come to us and, you know, have an enemy or something like that, and we would go out and somehow foil. I don't even know how it would translate. Like, saying it now, it's like well, I don't even know what we were thinking.
I think it would have worked, though.
Yeah, I think it would have worked, too. Because everybody enjoyed the video that we shot, except for one person who didn't like that vision. And then we were the New Day preachers. So.
I get it.
Which is cool, because it worked out, because like we said, so like, people didn't like it in the beginning. So we essentially said, let us have something and we'll make whatever work. So it was almost like a test. We're like, here, in this cynical world where, like, in the 80s, you know, you could just come on and go, yeah, I'm a good guy. And everyone goes, oh, we'll cheer for you. Like, now people are like, oh, get out of here. What are you like? So like Superman, people are like, oh, you've got your hair parted to the side. You're so clean cut. Like, screw you. Get out of here. So like, that doesn't necessarily work in certain scenarios anymore. So like, we're giving something along those lines. And it's like, okay, make it work. And so like Kofi said, and he said, we were able to navigate the waters in a way to where now selling bootios makes sense. And it's not far fetched, which
right.
is kind of ridiculous. You know?
Well, the other thing is too, that I think what people appreciate so much is just because it's so much fun for the fans because you guys are having a lot of fun with it, you know, and all the ideas are organic and everything. I know that, you know, Big E and Kofi, you're typically in matches a lot of times, and Xavier, they're at ringside. So has there ever been a time where you looked out of the ring like, what the heck is he doing out there, man?
There was one time where this is a while ago. So Kofi and I are in the match. I don't remember who we were working, but there's one time. So I think we had a 2-seg match. We do something, and then we're about to go to break. I think we're going to break. So I get something happened on the floor. And then we go to break, and then Kofi and I start getting back to the corner or whatever. And at some point, I tap Kofi, and I said, what is your boy doing?
Your boy's doing too much.
Your boy's doing too much. And he said, what? And he looks over, and Woods is like doing the, so there's the downed opponent, and Woods is like doing the worm in front of him. And that, like, now that feels very, very natural. Oh, and it wasn't a point, like, I wasn't bad or anything. I was like, I was enjoying it, but it was just the oddest reaction is to have this something like Fairly Vicious happen. We go to break, and then we're supposed to restart. We get back, and then looking back at Woods, he's just like aggressively doing the worm and tackling. Yeah, it was like, all right, this is getting out of hand, but in a good way.
That was like the start of it, because I kind of realized, like, okay, so if this is based in our chemistry, we need to just do whatever it is that we want to do. So just essentially doing whatever pops in our heads. And if the crowd's into it, that's awesome. But it's like, it's weird, because like it is for them, but like it's for us.
Yeah.
Because like I'm trying to make them laugh, and they're trying to make me laugh, and it's just us having fun. And like, thank you that people enjoy it. You know what I mean? But to the point of me doing too much, that, like I said, that's like the start of it. So on the house shows or live events, excuse me,
sure,
on the weekends, we just rotate who is on the floor. And so E has begun doing way too much. If you search Twitter, you'll find something
he's
that
traumatizing children with the wiggle.
It's more than the wiggle now. I can't even say it on camera. Just look through Twitter and you'll find.
I think we need a visual example.
the angle of the camera. No, we can't do it.
Shower.
Well, what I found is that I really enjoy being subversive, and we have such a long leash that I like pushing it to see how far we can go. And no one's telling us to stop doing these things. So I don't know what the line is. I don't know where the line is, but I like trying to put my foot near it and trying to figure out where it is. And after doing what I did on live events and no one's saying anything, I don't know.
What's the next step?
Yeah.
I can't go much further without. Yeah.
To that point, that's what's cool. Because I feel like people talk about, Attitude Era is so much better than PG Era, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's a different thing, because like, that's always referred to as the Wild West. Anything goes. And then in our era, in the PG era, we have to try to get that same sort of feeling, but in a sense that it's okay for kids. So when you go watch a movie like Shrek, there's adult jokes that the kids don't get that are still kid friendly. Yeah. So you have to be a different kind of creative. And that for us, disgusting. That for us is the fun part, because rather than just going out and saying like, okay, when I'm talking, I can just say all these curse words and then make fun of you this way and whatever, not have to think about the 7-year-olds in the crowd. To us, it's a puzzle and it's a game, because we're trying to go out there and just do our jobs and do whatever pops in our heads. But we have to think of a way to come around the backside of it so that it's still okay for, you know, companies that want to do sponsorships and everything. And that's a part that's really fun to us, yeah, because like I said, it's a puzzle. And then the people that don't understand it, Attitude is this much better and PG sucks because of this, like you're not really paying attention.
So how close are you guys to actually having Bootio cereal at a store near you?
I don't think we're that far off. I think it's very plausible. We don't know how far things are in the works.
No one tells us anything. You'll probably know before we do. Like, a lot of times we get tweets about, hey, you guys are doing this, I can't wait to see you. It's like, oh, I didn't know that we were going to be in your town because nobody told us. So I think, you know, a lot of people have been asking for it, and I think it would definitely sell a lot. I mean, it's been a long time since WWE's had, like, an actual food. You know, they had the ice cream bars. They actually had some WWE cereal way back in the day. So it would be really, really cool to have an actual cereal, but we'll see if there's enough demand. You know, you guys go, Vince McMahon has a Twitter page, go on his page, you know, and let him know that you want that Bootio cereal.
Shop Twitter. Shop. Let them know.
I was going to say, if John Cena can get Fruity Pebbles, then
yeah,
I think we can get some Bootios from the New Day.
Yeah.
Turn your milk brown, chocolate brown.
I don't see why not.
Yep. So with WrestleMania 32, you guys are going to be taking on the League of Nations. I think one of the things that I'm most curious about, before the match, just the New Day entrance and how glorious it could be. I know you guys can't give anything away. Can you give a little tease of maybe what to expect?
So it's lit.
That's a reference to Kofi not knowing how to properly use the term "it's lit."
I mean, I think is, you know, kind of what you make it. You know,
right.
"It's lit" was invented, and then, you know, people said it.
Is there a proper way to use "booty"?
There's a lot of confusion there. So, all right, I'm going to go back. I'm going to answer your question real quick. No, there will be no teasers. Watch the show. You'll see our entrance.
I'm assuming there'll be unicorns. That's all I care about.
Yeah, you're making assumptions.
Bring it down. What happens when you assume you make an ass out of you and me, but mainly you?
Yes.
Look at you.
Yes.
Another booty reference.
Yes.
Hey.
Got it. We brought it back around. So what was the question again?
The
booty. Oh yeah. Booty. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So
that was booty.
There's some confusion. This is what I like to say. You should strive to attain the booty,
yes,
but not to be booty. Yes. You see, there's a difference because a lot of people thinking like, oh, I love the New Day. I'm booty. No, little kid. That is not the message we're trying to send.
They might be booty.
They might be. Actually, if you don't know how to properly use the term booty, you might be booty. Yeah, so being booty is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. We say, if you listen to the tagline for the cereal, it's bootios. They make sure you ain't booty. So you don't want to be booty. So that's not a...
But it's almost like the difference between using bad and bad. Like, oh, I'm bad. It means I'm really good, but it's like, oh, I'm bad. I'm a bad person, you know what I mean? Same word, check the context. Context clues.
Last thing, with all the success that you guys have had so far, and obviously with WrestleMania coming up, what are your goals for even beyond that? I mean, how much farther, how much bigger can the New Day get? Career goals,
it's
guys.
It's just something. My main career goal is to make sure that Kofi becomes heavyweight champion.
This guy.
That's a real
skipping
thing.
He's skipping his way to the World Heavyweight Championship.
Oh, as he should.
If I become champion, we all become champions. Vice versa, versus vice versa, vice versa, vice versa. You see what I'm saying? So, I think our goal is just to, like we were talking about, like just push the limits and see how far we can go and, you know, walk that line of, like, what is okay and what is not and kind of make what's not okay okay and do it in witty ways like we kind of talked about. But, right now it's – for me, in particular, this is probably like definitely the most fun that I've had in my career. Like, without a doubt, every single day coming to work with my best friends is just awesome. You know, like, how many people can say that? You know, so, and then to be able to do it on a stage where people can look at it and appreciate it and be entertained and remember, you know, to be able to give people that feeling of just, you know, that feel good, you know, that power of positivity. It's not a quote unquote gimmick, like they say in the smart term speak, but we really strive to put smiles on faces and mainly our own. And by doing that, everybody else kind of benefits as well. So, yeah.
For sure. And I think we obviously have a lot of title and championship goals as well. And honestly, that the World Heavyweight Championship is obviously a big deal for us. I think having that free bird rule, I think that'd be really cool. I think to have something that'd be different. Yeah, yeah. So that's definitely a big thing. But I think also being the most gif-able or gif-able, depending on how you pronounce it, I've learned to now accept the pronunciation of gif. I'm okay with either. But yes, that's also very big. And I think the one thing that people will remember is how we make them feel. It's really cool to run into so many people that say, "Hey, you guys make us laugh every time you're on TV." That's a really cool moment. So, obviously, we want to be your WWE World Tag Team. What is the World Heavyweight Tag Team? You've had a lot of
WWE World Tag Team Champions. Yes.
I feel like you threw heavyweight in there. Yeah. 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 I don't know the proper. Yeah. I have to be wiggling my hips to even know how to properly say it.
World Tag Team. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Heavyweight was in there a few times.
You did throw heavyweight in there for a little bit.
Yeah.
Are you?
I don't know. I think I was rambling. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. And then for me, selfishly, I want to make sure that my YouTube channel hits a couple million subscribers.
Up,
down, down. Go subscribe if you haven't already. I don't know what the issue is. What are you waiting for? It's sick. It's a video game channel. So go check it out right now. Right now. But to that point of E talking about giving families and stuff moments, so many fathers send us pictures of them with their daughters, and they're all wearing the unicorn horn. So it's like, oh, his four-year-old daughter, she might not know that, like, we're the New Day. She just says, "I like the unicorn guys." But now they can watch wrestling together where they didn't have that luxury before to be able to share that. So it's cool to be able to do that for people.
And I agree completely. But then I think about the fact that it's very weird that we're having little kids imitate the stuff that we do. So I feel a little shame about that. It's all of us. It's all of us.
It's you. It's you. You get a lot more kids sending you or parents sending you videos of their kids gyrating, you know?
Seven-year-olds gyrating?
Yeah, seven-year-olds, three-year-olds, legit, like, just, it's very bizarre, but it's our life right now. It's real life.
Well, guys, thanks again for the time. I'm looking forward to seeing WrestleMania 32, New Day taking on League of Nations, and what comes next. Should we do a New Day Rocks chant to end this, or?
We can. I mean, we can.
I think we should.
Yeah. Yeah, it's early.
I know. We got to wake everybody up.
Yeah.
Is it early for them? Is this live?
It won't be early for them. It's early for us.
You have no idea, like, how tired we are. I just went to bed, like, 3 hours ago and just woke up. You know, my son is sleeping in the hotel room, and my wife and I are eating dinner in the closet, in the dark. This is real. This is my life, man. Like, I got out of access. My son went to sleep. My wife literally had a dinner date in the closet of our hotel. That's my life. That's me. You know, that's what I'm up to. That's why they call me Pops, because it's real.
Hope everybody enjoyed listening to the interviews there with Sasha Banks, Bray Wyatt, and the New Day. A couple of quick reminders. Follow me on Twitter. It's at Brian Fritz. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or on Stitcher. It's the easiest way to get the podcast. As soon as it's done, boom, you'll have it. And please rate and review the podcast. That helps out a lot when it comes to what I do with the podcast and getting more attention and all that kind of fun stuff out there. So more podcasts are coming up later on this week. I know I'll be speaking with Justin Barrasso from Sports Illustrated. We'll just talk about everything that's going on in wrestling. And also later in this week, I'm going to be talking with Rocky Romero from Ring of Honor, as he has his first rap album out. So I'll be talking with him about his music exploits along with what's going on with him in wrestling. Thanks again to everybody for listening to the podcast, and I'll talk to you later in the week.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.